Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Today, Pastor Larry and James Collins are beginning a conversation about how believers in Christ can combat addiction. We'll also get an update on our ministry to prisoners. We're all touched by the scourge of addiction, whether it's a personal addiction or addiction of a family member or friend. How can we overcome this pandemic of addiction? Pastor Larry and James Collins address this important issue on today's program.
We talk about the coronavirus pandemic, but there's another pandemic that is destroying lives, bodies, minds, and yes, souls. Pastor James Collins and I want to talk about rising above the pandemic of addiction.
An estimated 30 million people worldwide abuse opiates, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse. In the United States, an estimated 2.1 million people abuse prescription opiate pain relievers, and about 467,000 Americans are addicted to heroin.
I want to read a statement from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about marijuana. It is dated 2018. Since then, there have been changes and modifications regarding its legality in different areas. We believe that marijuana is too dangerous to legalize. Its legalization in some areas is a big step in the wrong direction. But listen to what the CDC says about marijuana. About 1 in 10 marijuana users will become addicted. For people who begin using before the age of 18, that number rises to 1 in 6. Some of the signs that someone might be addicted include unsuccessful efforts to quit using marijuana, giving up important activities with friends and family in favor of using marijuana even when it is known that it causes problems fulfilling everyday jobs at home, school, or work. And then the CDC report goes on to say, people who are addicted to marijuana may also be at a higher risk of other negative consequences of using the drug, such as problems with attention, memory, and learning. Some people who are addicted need to smoke more and more marijuana to get the same high. It is also important to be aware that the amount of THC in marijuana, that is the marijuana potency or strength, has increased over the past decade. The higher the THC content, the stronger the effects on the brain. In addition, some methods of using marijuana, that is dabbing and edibles, may deliver very high levels of THC to the user. Researchers do not yet know the full extent of the consequences when the body and brain, especially the developing brain, are exposed to high concentrations of THC, or how recent increases in potency affect the risk of someone becoming addicted.
Drug use is a societal problem. Drug users rebel against parental authority and become companion of those who rebel against parental authority. They participate in criminal activities and affect the quality of life in communities. Students don't perform well in school and cripple their chances of success in the future. Adults don't perform well on the job and are often unable to hold a job. Addicts are often involved with harder drugs, can't pay for their addiction, and turn to a life of crime to support their habit.
America is also suffering from a drug overdose epidemic. Overdoses frequently occur after detox. The individual goes back to using drugs and picks up with the same heavy dose that was used before the time of detox. The body is not ready for that heavy dose since it has been cleansed through detox. The heavy dose crashes the body and death often results. Reading from the CDC material once again, it says this, drug overdose deaths continue to impact communities across the United States. Drug overdose deaths are still high. From 1999 to 2019, nearly 841,000 people died from a drug overdose. In 2019, nearly 71,000 people died from drug overdoses. It was a leading cause of injury-related death in the United States. Over 70% of overdose deaths involved an opioid, like prescription opioids, heroin, or synthetic opioids like fentanyl.
Heroin, morphine, and other opiates trace their origin to a single plant, the opium poppy. The earliest reference to opium use and the cultivation of opium poppies comes from ancient Mesopotamia, an area currently known as Iraq, from around 3,300 BC. That is about 5,000 years ago. Opium cultivation spread to ancient Greece, Persia, current-day Iran, and Egypt. Opium use in ancient Egypt flourished under the reign of Tutankhamun around 1300 BC. Opium was popularly used to help people sleep, relieve pain, and even to calm crying children. Opium was introduced to China and Eastern Asia in the 6th or 7th century AD through the trade along the Silk Road, which connected the Mediterranean cultures of Europe to Asia, India, and China.
In the 1700s, the British conquered a major poppy-growing region of India and, rather than quash the production of opium, began to smuggle opium from India to China. The British used the profits from the lucrative opium trade to buy and export tea, silk, porcelain, and other Chinese luxury items, causing opium addiction to rise sharply in China. The Qing dynasty, attempting to curb the havoc caused by the widespread opium addiction, outlawed opium importation and cultivation. Two armed conflicts, called the Opium Wars, followed China's attempts to suppress opium use within its borders and British efforts to keep opium trafficking routes open. The British disgraced themselves by forcing opium addiction on the Chinese people. In each case, the military might of the British caused them to enjoy victory. This naturally caused resentment against the West and to some extent hindered missionary activity in China. Now friends, we are giving this extended material on the widespread use of drugs in the ancient world and in the modern to show first that the Bible's references to mind-altering drugs fits both the ancient culture and the future, and secondly, to explain why the use of mind-altering drugs will be one of the major features of the tribulation scenario as presented especially in the book of Revelation.
Opium derivatives, including morphine, became widely used pain relievers, particularly in the 1800s and in the American Civil War. Heroin was first synthesized for medical use before physicians realized its potent addictive properties. All opiates, heroin, morphine, and narcotic pain relievers can cause physical dependence, forcing users to rely on larger and larger amounts of the drug to prevent painful withdrawal symptoms.
Christians need to remember that their mind matters in dealing with all the unfortunate and harmful propaganda that is used to promote the use of drugs. Unbelievably, there are a lot of endorsements on the web for marijuana and some of the other drugs found in nature like peyote and magic mushrooms, which recently has been legalized in small amounts for personal use in Colorado.
One testimony written by a female blogger tells of being molested, being bullied, and how no one tried to help her. As she grew up, the emotional pain was unbearable. She wrote, quote, "I tried to kill myself. I cut my hair real short and started wearing black. When I got to college, a poetry professor suggested I go to a reading room with him. After that, we would meet with some friends of his. It was then that I started smoking pot, and it really made a difference. I felt better and started getting my grades up. I had a new sense of my surroundings. It was like God came into my life." Close quotes.
Yes, we need to be mentally alert and think through some of the clever appeals made for the legalization and use of mind-altering drugs. It is often argued that marijuana, peyote, and magic mushrooms are found in nature and are there by the good graces of a benevolent Mother Nature. Therefore, they can't really be harmful and should not be criminalized. We must never forget, however, that there is no benevolent Mother Nature. We live in a fallen world. One animal will eat another and, on occasion, even eat humans. Rattlesnakes are deadly. Poison ivy can give you a nasty rash, and too much sun can give you skin cancer.
Yes, we do have to be mentally alert. We have to think clearly, cogently, and biblically. We are witnessing a mighty battle being fought for the bodies and souls of our sons and daughters, and the casualties are disheartening. Many of the attacks are through the mind, as an apologist for Satan tries to appeal to our intellectual liabilities to deny the existence and presence of God. Just look at the titles of several recent books. Dr. Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion. Dr. Sam Harris, The End of Faith. Dr. Victor Stinger, God, The Failed Hypothesis. Christopher Hitchens, God is Not Great. Dr. Michael Onfray, The Atheist Manifesto. These people are after your sons and daughters. Their goal is to make them unthinking atheists just like they are. Parents need to wake up and stop delivering their kids to the public education system. This is one of the reasons we're losing our kids. They are being raised in the dens of godless academia.
Your mind does matter, and therefore you need a clear mind in thinking about and reacting to the drug epidemic. Your mind matters, but drugs and alcohol befuddle and confuse the mind. That's why we need the helmet of salvation, as indicated in Ephesians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 tells us, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This is a very important scripture. We are to cast down imaginations. We are to wage war against those things that exalt themselves as enemies against the knowledge of God. Every thought is to be brought into captivity and made obedient to Jesus Christ.
Struggling against the forces of evil is necessary, but sometimes that requires great understanding and discernment. Why should we make it more difficult and perhaps even impossible to be clear-headed? Mind-altering drugs are one of the devil's biggest guns in his war against Christians. It stuns me that any reasonable person would argue for the legalization of marijuana or any other substance that muddles our minds. We are living in a society that has lost its way and no longer wants to think critically or even act in a rational manner.
There are several scriptures that mandate clear-headedness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So we have to be wide awake, not in a drug-induced stupor. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation."
There are several other scriptures, such as 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And also 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist."
If you claim to be a Christian, you have to stand up and refuse to be complicit in the drugging of America. If there are any pro-drug initiatives that lawmakers are trying to impose upon you and your communities, you must resist them. The only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. I often hear the outrageous claim that pastors should not be involved in politics. How any God-fearing person can make that mindless statement is one of the great mysteries of the universe. We were told in seminary, "Don't moralize and don't get into politics." Now, friends, those were two items that I heard in seminary that I seek to violate and trample every day. God deliver us from such madness. Politics, especially today, is a moral issue. May we never think that we have a mandate from God to be silent on political issues. And you know, James, I think there's so much about parental responsibility in training their children. And I know you are a homeschooling parent, and I think that's so wonderful.
Absolutely. When we were in the military and started having children, we're moving around, we found that some schools were good, decent, there were good, decent people, but others, just like you said, godless academia controlled those schools. One in particular, they had Harvey Milk Day. Even for the kindergarten kids, they had gay, lesbian, and transgender week, even for the kindergarten children. So we made the decision to put our children in homeschool.
Well, I think that's a wise choice. I mean, why would we love our kids, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then turn them loose all week to these dens of iniquity? And of course, I know some good Christians who do teach in public schools, and I can understand that. But the fact is, the textbooks, the literature that is written come from the big cities, for the big cities. They were not written for Godibo, Oklahoma, or other nice little places like that. So parents are responsible for raising their children in the right way. And of course, we are responsible for setting a good example of Bible study, prayer, and church attendance. I think that's really important.
It's been a blessing to have my children in church before they were even born. We have been blessed to watch them grow in their faith and have seen them all make early professions of faith. We've been completely blessed by the way that God has worked in the lives of our children.
I know some kids who have been raised in Christian school and by homeschooling parents, and they are a delight. You can tell the difference. There is a big difference. That's really precious to me. And I want to encourage everyone. Number one, pray for your kids. Number two, learn about the drug addiction problem. We have another program coming up on tomorrow's broadcast, and we will bring some things in from Scripture and especially from prophecy to show you what God's Word says about the drug pandemic.
We have more from Larry and James on Rising Above the Pandemic of Addiction next time. If you'd like a copy of today's program or any of the programs you hear, just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can go online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Please remember that your prayers and financial support keep these programs on the air. Southwest Radio Ministries is so much more than a daily radio program. Southwest provides resources in the form of books, DVDs, conferences, and tours, all designed to educate, inform, and encourage. Missions is another important area that the ministry is devoted to, from our work with Christians in Pakistan to ministering to individuals in prison. Our prison ministry here at Southwest is called the Onesimus Project. Now, for those of you who are unaware, the Onesimus Project was founded in 1974 by Dr. David Weber. Dr. Weber found it extremely important to reach out to prisoners and to teach them about Jesus Christ. He felt communicating by mail would give them an assurance that they were thought of and cared about. Many had families who had deserted them once in prison. So Dr. Weber decided to send a yearly calendar to prisoners and to prisons all across the United States to both men and women prisoners. The calendar became very popular among the prisoners. They would mark off the days left in prison and also use the verses on the calendar as their daily devotion if they didn't have access to a Bible. Well, now, thanks to the generosity of you, our listeners, we now send what's called a prisoner packet to each new prisoner who writes to the ministry or a friend or family member who may call for our assistance. Now, the prisoner packet is completely and totally funded by your donations. When you give a donation to the Onesimus Project or to the prison ministry, that goes to help fund the prisoner packets. Now, in these packets, each packet contains a Bible, one of our yearly calendars, and two books entitled Redeemed, Unredeemable, and What Must I Do to Be Saved? Besides sending calendars to individual prisoners, we also send hundreds of calendars to chaplains across the United States to distribute to their prisoners. And the amount of correspondence that comes from prisoners here to the ministry because of your generosity is overwhelming. And rest assured, every single letter that comes into the ministry is answered. Many of the prisoners request our Book of the Month. Many have prayer needs. And many have been abandoned by their family and need and desire communication to feel cared about and also to learn from God's Word. And every one of those things is made possible because of your generosity. We receive several letters each week sharing the good news that God has become that prisoner's Lord and Savior, that they've become a Christian. Bible classes have been formed, and the yearly calendar is part of that lesson. Why am I telling you all of this? Because I want you to know and be updated on the Onesimus Project, on our ministry to prisoners here at Southwest Radio Ministry. We have so many of you that call and designate financial gifts to the Onesimus Project, to our prison ministry, and we want you to know that those gifts are reaching prisoners all across the United States of America. Right now, the Onesimus Project is in 60 different prisons, reaching over 1,200 prisoners with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, all of this takes money. It costs, doesn't it? Well, think about this. The amount per month to reach over 1,200 prisoners is around $2,700 per month. And the average donation given to the Onesimus Project is about $50. That means we need your help. And what I'd like to do is encourage you today to help a prisoner in need.
to help a prisoner get a Bible, to help a prisoner get a Bible verse calendar that they can have to use for encouragement and to uplift them. That donation to the Onesimus Project goes for those new prisoner packets, to those books of the month, and to be able to have a staff member full-time communicate, respond to letters, and let those prisoners know that Jesus loves them. Would you consider giving a gift today to the Onesimus Project? Call toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. When you call, just say, "I'd like to designate a gift for the prison ministry," or simply state, "I want to support the Onesimus Project." And when you do that, your gift will go to help hundreds and hundreds of prisoners hear about the life-changing news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This Onesimus Project, as we stated, has been going on since 1974 as part of the ministry and outreach of Southwest Radio. When we say God is still on the throne and prayer changes things, we mean it, and we mean that that happens for everyone here and those that are in prison. So as we give you this outstanding update of over 1,200 prisoners being ministered to, and that represents over 60 prisons across the United States, would you consider a one-time gift of $100? Maybe an average gift of $50? Maybe you'd like to support the Onesimus Project on a monthly basis? All of that is greatly needed right now. We can minister to more prisoners. We can reach more prisons with your help. Will you designate a special gift today to the Onesimus Project, to the prison ministry? It would be greatly appreciated, and it goes to help prisoners hear the good news of the gospel. Call toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144, and show your support for the prison ministry, for the Onesimus Project today. We have a special treat for you today, a special feature from our friends at Larry Stamm Ministries. It's called Messianic Minute, 60 seconds of looking at biblical truth through a Jewish lens.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute, Biblical Connections Through a Jewish Lens. After rebelling against God and eating the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, Genesis 3:7 tells us. God provided another covering in Genesis 3:21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. What was the significance of God's provision? An innocent animal was sacrificed, its blood shed. The sacrifice died. Adam and Eve lived. This foreshadowed the ultimate sacrifice found in the person and work of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 proclaims, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Thank God for the provision of his Son. For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
I hope you enjoyed that Messianic Minute. And by the way, if you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. In this packet, you'll find a special welcome letter from our president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, information about the ministry, and a free book. It's our way of saying thank you for being a new listener here at Southwest Radio Ministries. To request your new listener pack, which is absolutely free, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 and request your new listener pack today.
We have a unique offer for you today that will help prisoners and their families. It's a special book by David Beardsley entitled A Christian's Guide to Prison Survival. Not only a compelling testimony to the power of rehabilitation through regeneration, but also a practical guide for Christian living beneficial to all believers. This resource is ideal for your church's prison ministry. Order yours today for a gift of $15 or more. Call toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or log on to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Audio copies of our programs are available, as well as our latest edition of our monthly publication, The Prophetic Observer. In the Prophetic Observer, you'll find outstanding articles on biblical prophecy, current events, and how they relate to Scripture. Get the latest copy of the Prophetic Observer by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Have you checked out our conference schedule? Yep, conferences are back, and we are so excited to bring the best teaching on prophecy and the end times to you. A complete listing of conferences, both in person and online, are available at swrc.com. Just log on and click on the Conferences tab at the top of the homepage. Registration is now open for all conferences, and tickets can be purchased online at swrc.com or simply by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We'll be bringing our one-day prophecy briefing to Denver on Saturday, July 3rd. Speakers will include Dr. Larry Spargimino, James Collins, and Greg Patton. Our summer prophecy conference will be online and available for all. July 30th, the sessions will be available, and when you purchase your All Access Pass, you'll be able to watch the teaching sessions as many times as you want through August the 7th. Speakers for our online conference include Billy Crone, Todd Friel, Bill Federer, Rabbi Kurt Schneider, Michael Smith, Dr. Kenneth Hill, James Collins, and Dr. Larry Spargimino. And then our fall conference will take place in Columbus, Ohio this year, October 28th through the 30th. We will also be bringing our End Times Conference to Las Vegas, November 20th and 21st. In addition to registration being open for all of these wonderful conferences, we'll also have special add-on packages available. With these add-on packages, you'll get your ticket to the conference, as well as audio copies of the entire event, a specially selected book from one of our conference speakers, and in Columbus, the add-on package includes a DVD set of the entire conference. Check out these great offers by visiting the conference section of our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Again, registration is now open for all of these wonderful conferences, and we really look forward to seeing you. Register today at swrc.com. That's swrc.com, or you can register by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Pastor Larry and James Collins continue to help us rise above the pandemic of addiction. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.